Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch-Up. Here's your host, Tom King.
Welcome to the Coaches Catch-Up series, where we speak with all local coaches across the GFL, BFL and GDFL. And this man rang me and said, if you're doing the Coaches Catch-Up, you've got to start at the top. And I said, what, Travis Robertson and Glenn Keast? And he said, no, me. And I speak of Paul Carson, who's been good enough to join us from St. Joseph's. Hello, Carson. You only finished third in 2019. That's not the top.
No, you're right. That was tongue-in-cheek, Kingy.
We're
obviously starting at the bottom and working our way up here, but thanks for having me.
Great to see you. It's been a long time since we've played competitive footy, coming up 18 months. When you knocked out in the preliminary final, does the fire still burn from that 18 months on, or does it diminish a little bit and you've got to find other motivations?
Look, I think it still burns a little bit, and I reflect on it quite a bit, and more so just about how we sort of got knocked out and the style of footy we were playing. So we've reflected on that to make the tweaks and the changes we feel that are necessary. But we move on pretty quick because we're going to have a new group. We're probably going to be a lot younger group. But this year still looks pretty exciting, I think.
Yep. You've brought in a heavy hitter as an assistant coach in Gary Hocking. What influence has he had on the group over the last 4 or 5 months?
He's been awesome. I think not only for the group, but for myself and the other coaches. Him just bringing that sense of professionalism and even the, you know, the method in how we train, a little bit of game sense, some theory behind it. It's first class, obviously. He spent a lot of time at AFL level, so he brings a wealth of knowledge, and I'll be first to admit that I'm milking it for everything it's worth. Yeah.
I'm going to say, do you find yourself a better coach going into round one 2021 than you were prelim final 2019?
I would probably have to say yes. That comes probably with a little bit more maturity, a little bit more experience, but also knowing what I know, things to look for, things that I've picked up along the way. But yeah, because of Buddha's influence, I'd like to think so. Yeah, for sure.
Player movement, there's been a little bit. You were going to lose a couple heading into the 2020 season. Brenton Rees, Lucas Anderson were going to be departures, but you've lost a couple more. Rhys Holkgren has been the soul of St. Joseph's for the best part of a decade. He's going to be tough to replace.
Absolutely, and Rhys has been at our footy club since day dot, and I mean since the age of 8 or 9. And you're right, his leadership is the thing that sort of stands out most to me. Not only is he a two-time premiership player, but he's been the backbone for, you know, through the glory years, you'd say, from 15 through to 18, at least those 3 or 4 years there, he was been one of our biggest contributors and really well-liked around the footy club. But he needed a new challenge, I think, given that he'd only ever experienced our football club. So now living in Melbourne, next phase for his football, I suppose, and might be the last couple of years for him. He wanted to experience something different, so we understand that.
Benny McNamara is a blow too, because he'd turn himself into one of the better key defenders in the competition. But having a chat to him myself, he said with work and life in Torquay, and you know, I suppose an apprenticeship that he's undertaking with a builder down there, probably life just seems to make sense playing footy down there.
Yeah, I think it does. And even in my short time coaching, Joey's, we've had to, Benny's been a real battle to hang on to. Torquay always been breathing down his throat, and him being a Torquay boy, that's always been a challenge. But again, his life is now in Torquay. He's moved back down there. He's working down there. So we wish him all the best as well. I mean, Benny's only probably 22 or 23 years of age, believe it or not. He's another two-time premiership player at our footy club. So he could always return, I believe. But I think this is probably a good move for Benny, and we wish him well.
Tell us a bit about Ben Miller. And I know there was a couple of clubs in the region that were interested in Ben, but he's landed at St. Joseph's, comes from Dimboola out of the Wimmera League. What can you tell us about him? What can we expect?
So funny story, if you, a couple of minutes here. At the end of 2019, I was driving home from picking up a couple of pizzas, and I was in a car accident, and it was Benny Miller. He'd crashed into the side of me. And we got out and we started having a chat and exchanging details, and we got talking about football. And sure enough, he'd moving down to relocate at this point in time, but we kept in contact. And because of COVID, he actually went back home to Dimboola. But then COVID passes again. He reached out again, I think it might have been sort of September, October last year, and said, listen, I'm looking to come back to Geelong. So this guy, he's played. It's been a couple of years with South Adelaide. What might have been West Adelaide. Played a few games over there, but had a real back issue, some back spasm and some disc issue. So only able to string a few games. Really solid contributor at Dimboola, I understand. But so far from what I've seen, he's only gone from strength to strength in our program and to the stage where I think he's going to slot straight into our midfield. And he looks to be a big body mid, left footer, kicks the ball really well and he's really hungry to succeed. He's been a real sponge and really coachable. So he's going to fit in well.
A couple of boys that come into the club. Well, Henry Walsh has always been a St Joseph's boy ever since the family moved back from the NT back about 7 or 8 years ago. So he will fit in comfortably, no doubt. And I believe right now he's only wishes to play at St Joseph's, doesn't have any desire to... He could go back to the Falcons as a 19-year-old or he could play some VFL, but St Joseph's looks like it'll be home for him in 2021.
Yeah, and that's where we're at right now, yes. And I suppose it's first and foremost, it's about what Henry feels comfortable doing and what he wants to do at this point in time in his career. And for that, and speaking with himself and his dad, Wayne, we feel like this is the best fit for him with where he is in life now. And he's working on a farm in Winchelsea. And we still feel that this is not a backward step for Henry. We feel like this is probably more of a bit of a sideways one. If not, we feel like we can still add to his development and keep progressing him. Biggest thing for Henry and us as a footy club, we really wanted to take away the pressures of playing Falcons and having to perform and feeling that sort of burden on his shoulders. So we want to really make it enjoyable for Henry. And along with Peter Street, those guys are doing a lot of work. So really trying to hone in on his craft. But all the while, keep it really fun for Henry. And we think it's going to be pretty exciting if he's running around with us this year.
He's going to learn some stuff playing against the likes of Lockie Veal, Trent West, David Fanning. That's probably going to be worth more to him potentially than playing against another raw bone ruckman in the NAB League.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And that might be exactly what he needs, or the recruiters might need to see, or it just might be another step in his confidence and his development. But yeah, I agree. I think those challenges you're not going to find in the under-19 competition, the NAB League, and these guys are proven, local football AFL players and genuine big men. So be a good challenge for Henry.
You've got a number of players, as always, at VFL, couple at Werribee and a handful at Joey's. Who will you, I suppose, not have full access to throughout the year?
Good question. I suppose it changes a lot. You would probably think, history gone by, Michael Sotomarco, we don't see much or at all. Jesse Clark's running around at Werribee. And again, I really hope we don't see Jesse. I've got a lot of time for Jesse, and I think he's draftable. I really rate him highly.
Does he become a replacement, though, for McNamara, potentially, if he's not required at Werribee?
Yeah, potentially. And we're looking at what our balance will look like week to week. As we've probably learned over the years, with VFL guys coming and going, team can have 4 or 5 changes in a week. So we've got to be adaptable in that sense. The guys we've got at Geelong, I suppose, history again, Jackson McLaughlin, we probably don't see him very often either. And I mean, he's one guy who's probably pretty stiff that 2020 didn't go ahead, because he was probably one good year away from potentially opening up a few more doors at higher standard. James Gow, Cal Mitchell, Dan Caprion, Nick Burke, all these guys have spent time playing in the AFL practice games, I understand. So I think they're all travelling really, really well.
Yep.
What that means for us, I don't know. But again, we know that's the program. And if these guys are playing good VFL footy, then we're happy for them as well.
Dare I ask, have you moved on from Wiley Buzzer?
Wiley Hugh, sorry. Yeah, no, onwards, mate. We're moving past that.
Just want to leave it in the background. You've had your say about it.
Yeah, well, I'll be good if he plays against us round 2 or 3, whenever that is, but we'll see. There's a few boys that would be happy to prying up on him.
Talking about your start to the season, you've got Colac round 1 down there. You get the reigning runner-up, who are obviously they're burning because of what happened on grand final day 2019, and they'll return with pretty much a similar lineup and maybe strengthened a little bit too by some recruits. You're going to get a really good test down there on April 17.
Yeah, I agree. And we get them on their round too. They get St. Albans the week prior. So I think they're going to be cherry ripe. That's also a twilight game, which would be a little bit different down there too. But quietly confident, but also excited to get down to Colac early in the season, because I know it can be pretty miserable, sort of June, July, August. so I'm not unhappy about going down there in April. But yeah, we know we're going to have our work cut out for us there, and they're going to be right about again 2021, and they look to only going from strength to strength. So that'd be a good challenge straight up.
So your first month is, you know, you've got a couple of challenges in there. Obviously, as you said, you've got St Mary's in there. We'll just have a look at your first month of the season, and it looks a little bit like this. So Colac down at Central Reserve, South Bar on an Anzac Day is never easy because of the fact that both clubs rise for the occasion. That game will be KROQ broadcast game, of course, on Anzac Day. Looking forward to calling that. And then back home for the first time in the new facility against Newtown and Chilwell. We know that's always a cracker. Then St Mary's. So you've actually got three of the top five from 2019, well, top four actually, yep. The other top in the first month, plus a South Barwon side who will throw everything at you on Anzac Day.
Yeah, it's probably no different to last year. I think we had a really tough first six or seven games. I think that's the way the draw is anyway, the way it's sort of tiered. We're always going to play the top teams a couple of times. But yeah, you're right. We need to be sort of hitting our straps straight away, because we could easily find ourselves 2-4 or, you know, 1-5 or 6-0, you know, it could go either way. Mm. Yeah, but so that's going to be a real challenge the first 6 weeks, no doubt. We're not looking too far past that.
I know I've poked fun at you over the summer having Gary Hocking as your right-hand man, but do you get a bit more nervous if you're 2-4 or 1-5?
Look, you're not the only one that's probably texted me that, to be honest, but... like I think I've said to you before, if the Titanic's going to go down, mate, he's going to come with me. But, I think, if anything, we're probably the other way. And we're very realistic with where we're at. We're not getting too ahead of ourselves. And, you know, just a few good years have gone by. That doesn't guarantee you wins, or it doesn't guarantee you a spot in the finals every year. You still to go out and do the work and earn that, week from week.
Mm-hmm. Your practice matches, you've got a nice little mix of clubs, one from the VAFA, one from the Western League, and one from the Ballarat League, which will give you three good tests heading into round one.
Yeah, and we tend to do that on purpose, just to get a good feel for different competitions. And, they're all Divi 1 in their own right. So, but a good mix-up, yeah, we agree. And Sebastopol, I believe he's Twilight as well, just to sort of give us a bit of prep for the Colac game. The district. Werribee Districts, we've had a long relationship with those guys ever since I was back in Anglesey, so it's always good to play them. And St Kevin's are a new one for me, which was organised sort of, I believe, through a connection in the committee, but they've been a really, really strong VAFA team for a number of years now, so that'll be a really good turnout too. And, we think that their three games going to hold us in good stead leading into round one.
Yep, and you've hit up your old mate Paul Nigro for a bit of a match sim scratchy against Anglesey next Thursday.
Yeah, so we'll have a run around with Anglesey as well, and it's just a little bit of a probably just a rundown from a genuine practice game, you'd say. We'll try and control that a little bit more, but again, we've used those guys, or we've used each other for a little bit of a hit out this time of year, so it's always good to lean on those relationships.
Will Al Hickey captain the club again, or has that not been finalised?
Yep, no, that has been finalised. We finalised that over the weekend. Al will be the captain again for, I believe this would have been his fourth year, if we counted 2020.
Yep.
So we're really wrapped foul.
Yep, absolutely. Great leader and a fine young man is Al Hickey. Trackstar, who's somebody that's really impressed you? And don't sit on the fence. You like giving an opinion. Don't say everybody's going well. Give me a somebody who's stood out for you.
No, I've got a few. And Louis Antonak's been someone who probably just emerged on the scene 2019. With us, but still went back. Well, was still eligible to play under 19 footy, so he did go back in the finals and play with his mates there. And well done for it, Louis. They won the flag there in that grade. But he had a taste of senior experience in 2019. But his work over the summer has been exceptional. And he's probably first one there, last one to leave. And he's someone who's probably really latched on to Buddha, I would say, and does a lot of extra work after training and really working on his craft. And he just looks hungry and strong and fit. And he's someone that I probably wouldn't like to line up on if I was still running around. So he's really impressed. We've got a couple of really good young kids. Nick Sanders is another guy come from our under-19 grade who's just probably come from left field.
Yep.
wasn't on the radar 6 months ago as far as sort of playing senior footy, and now it's become more and more realistic that he potentially plays round one. We've got quite a few young guys like that, which is the exciting part for us this year. I think our eldest player, other than Lek Featherston, so we've probably got Cameron Tudor sits at about 28 years of age, and there's a couple just under him. Then there's a big gap. I would like to think we're probably going to be a 21, 22 years of age average. Yep. So we're going to be really young, but I think that also means we're going to be really exciting. Yeah, and the future looks bright.
Yeah, absolutely. Any injury concerns? Anybody that might not make round one? I know we're still 5 weeks out, 6 weeks out.
Touch wood, it's been pretty good. Had a few little hiccups pre-Christmas, but the guys have been able to, you know, our off-field staff and Ryan Letter, our fitness conditioning guy, he's been really good managing the workloads, and that was always going to be a bit of a battle, and it still might be just with the layoff time from last year, but touch wood, so far so good.
Yep. New development, multi-million dollar redevelopment involving St Joseph's Football Club and St Peter's Cricket Club, but I understand you guys will continue to use the Scout Hall as your change rooms. Not ready to let go of those yet.
Yeah, I believe we are. Only throughout the week. Obviously, weekends we move across into the new ones. But for whatever reason, we're set up over there. The gym's already there. Yep. There's enough room for us sort of, you know, throughout the week to use those rooms. I think those rooms themselves are going to be developed later in the year into a high-performance centre, we believe, which will be state-of-art in itself.
Beautiful.
But yes, the main club rooms we're pretty excited for, and I think you touched on it'll be our first home game, I think round three against Newtown. They should be unveiled, and it's pretty exciting for our footy club because it's a long time coming. Probably those rooms prior served a purpose.
Outlived their use-by date.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Carso, always a pleasure to talk footy with you. Good to have you kick us off for the Coach's Countdown or Coach's Catch-Up for 2021, and look forward to catching up with you throughout the season, especially when we're broadcasting St Joseph's games, and we'll see you in round two, Anzac Day at South Barwon.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this edition of K-Rock Football's Coach's Catch-Up. For other editions and the latest local news, head to krockfootball.com.au.